Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. We are here today to talk about a little bit more about debt. So we had a previous conversation about the U.S. debt and how at that time that we had that conversation in 2024, the U.S. debt was at $34 trillion and growing. So while that's staggering, how do we expect the government to do better when we, the people, aren't doing well either? And so what we're going to talk about today is personal fiscal responsibility that starts within the home. And the Bible certainly has a lot to say about that. So we're just going to talk about some of the facts and figures around that and hopefully provide our listeners with some food for thought around what they can do personally, as we know the economy is rather difficult and inflation is growing, which certainly is it eats away at your buying potential. But we still think that there's some room for conversation around this that can help us personally. And so first, let's start with some conversation around the number of Americans who are in debt. So let's start with that. So Phil, how many Americans right now, based on some statistics, are currently in debt?
Well, I don't have any idea, but I bet it's a lot.
Well, research shows it's around 80%.
That's 80%. Not surprising.
80% of Americans.
I would have thought even more than that.
Have some form of debt. And so how many, based on the research, would be evangelical or Protestant Christians who are also in debt?
Maybe a little bit less, but still a pretty big number, I would think.
The research that we did shows that about 50% of the people who are Christians are also in debt. Now, we're not saying that all debt is bad or good, but we want to talk about some of the repercussions of debt and some of the facts around that. So I'd like to start.
Based on this, on those statistics alone, at least Dave Ramsey's doing a little bit of good, it looks like.
Maybe some, right. Right. So let me start with a question to you, Judge. Why do you think these numbers reflect perhaps an area of idolatry or sin, if we think about that, especially in the Christian's life? 50% Christian, 80% of Americans, which probably is a little bit low, and we're probably not even factoring in, for instance, student debt, which is—
Or maybe even mortgages.
Or mortgages, yeah. Correct.
The reality is that— And this is the gospel according to Phil. I think debt is probably a symptom, mm-hmm. As much or more so than it is a sin, because oftentimes debt is a result of a desire that we have to want more than what we really need, for sure. But certainly excessive debt makes us a slave to the world system. We call it Babylon sometimes. And while our world tells you that some form of debt is okay, and I don't know that that's wrong in and of itself, the reality is, though, that once you have debt, you become a enslaved to pay that debt off. Mm-hmm. And if that debt is for something that is superfluous, then it makes it even worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're dealing with a touchy subject here. Mm-hmm. Certainly in my life, I will tell you that I'm one of the 80%, because I have a mortgage on my house, thankfully it's not as great as at one point in time it was. But Sarah, when we talk about a subject like debt, what challenges do we see for everyday people when it comes to this kind of thing?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at debt and you look at money, let's just take a look at money. The Bible does tell us, Jesus said, that you can't serve God and money. You have to choose one or the other because, you know, one is going to own you, right? So if you have debt, it does own you to some extent, because biblically, if we accumulate some form of debt, we are obligated to pay it. So that's an obligation, a payable obligation that we are mandated, you know, biblically, if we're responsible for securing it, that we pay it. So it depends on the kind of debt, I think, because I think some of the challenges around that depend on, you know, our desire for more, a bigger house, better car, you know, versus just having a home that may be adequate or a car that has wheels and gets you from point A to point B. So the desire, the purchase, to purchase stuff, for instance, or the ease with which our borrowers actually entice you to get involved through credit cards or through the ease with being able to borrow money, a lot of times people will choose debt because they want more stuff, they want better stuff. And I'm going to lump everything into, you know, anything that you purchase on debt, you know, is stuff. It could be home, car. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But when people choose to assume debt for emotional reasons, for shopping or things that they don't necessarily need, it's really more of a want, that actually puts you in a bind later. You know, you're waiting, you're paying something off over time at interest, and so it actually is costing you more. So a lot of times emotional purchases—
Sometimes doubling.
Right. Emotional purchases can be very detrimental to family. My prior life, I actually worked at Junior Achievement. And so when I worked at Junior Achievement, we did a lot of work on debt and what happens with debt. And when you take a look at debt, debt actually permeates a lot of the social ills of our nation. A lot of divorces happen because—
Particularly consumer debt.
Consumer debt. A lot of marital issues, challenges, relationships are focused negatively on debt. Because there's significant debt, don't know how to pay the bills. There's never enough money at the end of the month. A lot of work problems, work-based problems, productivity problems happen because people are consumed with worries about their debt. And so there's a lot of, you know, unforeseen consequences of personal debt that people experience because they're overextended with finances.
Well, that certainly was true, Sarah, in the court system. Mm-hmm. With civil cases, and you mentioned domestic cases, mm-hmm. divorces, that's certainly true. But you also see a lot of businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of partnerships, a lot of relationships fail because of excessive debt,
mm-hmm.
and the lack of money to pay for that debt, obviously.
Well, one of the things that we have just started doing across our nation, not in every state, but is having mandatory financial literacy classes for people before they graduate from high school, which seems to make sense to me, so that people really understand the consequences of going into debt or assuming personal debt or consumer debt, what happens with that. And there's certainly a lot of angst when you talk about the personal challenges when we take a look at what's happened, for instance, with student debt. The ease with which people have been able to accumulate massive debt with being a student, coming out of college with massive debt, you know, well over six figures, with a degree in something that's really not able to pay that debt back. And so that's actually a cause of the government
well,
extending those loans.
It's a scam, and it's just like what happened to us in 2008 and 2009 in that time framework with home loans.
Mm-hmm.
Folks were sold a bill of goods. Hey, you can borrow all this money and go have you a house, the American dream, and then all of a sudden they've got more house than what they can pay for or more education than what they can pay for. And you're exactly right in terms of the education is basically worthless. At least with a home, you've got something that's of value. When prices on homes start falling and the loan-to-value ratio goes upside down, just like automobiles, you got a real problem. You got a car or home that's not worth nearly what you paid for it, and you owe too much money on it.
Mm-hmm. So in that kind of scenario or that situation, I think it does pay to have some sort of education or understanding around, you know, what is a good debt to assume. I think in some cases it can be a mortgage. If your home, you know, you can purchase a home and you pay into that home, that can actually produce a value for you. But there's also a lot of I don't know if I want to say myths or thoughts around that, because home ownership has turned into being what's called the American dream. And I think that's actually not true. But I think home ownership does benefit people. I'm not saying it doesn't, because I've been the recipient of real estate, the real estate boom, where it's allowed me to purchase a nicer home or a better home and invest that money. So, you know, hallelujah, it works. But at the same time, that is not the American dream. When you think about the Constitution and the original founders of our country, when they wrote the Declaration, when they wrote these documents, the American dream was based on freedom, the freedom of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It wasn't home ownership. But a lot of times when you hear people talk, that the American dream is that everybody needs to own a home. Well, in some cases, that's actually not the best thing for people, because home ownership also is, it's a money pit. You know, you've got lawn maintenance, you've got, trees falling down, you got to, chop down, you've got...
All at the worst time.
Right. Everything happens. Right. But think about that. So I think the cost of home ownership, there is a cost to it, but there is a benefit, but there's also a cost to it. Time, money or whatnot. So I think what I really want our audience to walk away with is to really think about debt, personal debt, not just make some, simple assumptions, but to go research that, to look at what's actually a good investment versus an emotional investment. What are some of the things that you can do as a person to avoid going into debt that's not necessarily beneficial?
Well, our society puts all this stuff, it's kind of like going to the grocery store and you come out at the checkout line, used to be when you had people to check you out at the grocery store. You had all the candy and the soft drinks and the trinkets right there to get you to buy it on impulse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our society is doing to us with all of these other major things. Sometimes with a home, you need to buy it right now because somebody else might buy it, or a car. You want something bigger and shinier and clothes. You gotta have new clothes and Goodwill gets filled up with clothes that you wore last year but no longer need them in your closet because you don't have room. And it is, as I said earlier, the debt is really a symptom of the sin of materialism. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. we want the things of this world more than we want our relationship with Jesus. And I think that brings in and of itself an emotional and spiritual toll. It's an isolation, if you will. This overabundance of debt isolates us from our walk with Christ.
100%.
And when we are not walking with Christ, it leads to depression and to this deception that we are filled with in this world today, about this pursuit of things that we think will make us happy, and the more we pursue it, it's just like sin. The more you pursue sin, the more sin it takes to satisfy you. You're never satisfied with that. And we leave those things which are the most important to us, and in this case, it would be our faith and our walk with Jesus. There are really only two kinds of Christians in this world. There are those who are walking in the Spirit and than those who have grieved the Spirit. And this debt and the sin that comes with it of the pursuit of all of these things that don't bring us happiness in the long run, that grieves the Holy Spirit, and it separates us from Christ. And not only that, but, we're commanded to be givers as Christians.
Mm.
And so if we're consumed by this debt that we have that's personal debt to us, then I'm not as able to help my neighbor. And God gives us these material blessings, and I'm so thankful that he has. And we are materially blessed in this nation. And then you look at what we give away, and it's not anywhere near what God calls us to be in that. So one other thing, we get ourselves in this trouble. And sin has its consequences, and then we look to God as if God ought to bail us out, and make this better. And sometimes I have to just admit that most of the time when I get in trouble, it's based on something that I've done, not something God's done for me.
Mm-hmm.
And if my friend Dave Ramsey does anything at all, he tells us that in order to get out of these situations, it's going to take discipline. And so we need to look at things programs like what Dave Ramsey's got. There's others out there, many others that are good. But it all requires discipline. It all requires us to focus on those things which are important and to discard those things which are not as important.
Well, I also think we have to have a sense of delayed gratification on things. If we could actually stop for a moment, pause, and take the emotion out of a financial decision, I think sometimes that can help to walk away. I always say this, especially with my children. I've really tried to help my children become very focused on, you know, saving or preparing for the future. But I always tell them, if you think you have to have it now, you need to wait. That's a sign, a symptom of you just saying, hey, take time out, capital T, take a moment, let's think about this and take a pause. A lot of times I think if we were to take a pause, I also think it's very important in our world that we don't jump into the snare to compare. A lot of times we compare ourselves, you know, the whole keeping up with the Joneses. We can't worry about what other people think about what we have, what we do, what we wear, what we drive, trying to impress others in this world, because quite frankly, that will bring you down that dark rabbit trail, and it's a dark, dark hole. That can lead to depression, feeling less than. It has nothing to do with possession. I think the most important possession that we can have is Jesus Christ himself. And that satisfies all. That truly satisfies. Now,
we're called to joy.
Right. Well,
that's what our call is, to joy. And this debt and the overspending leads us to lose that joy that we have in the Lord.
So one of the things I think is a great call to action for our listening audience, because we're only taking a few minutes to even just brush on these topics. I'm sure people that are listening to this are probably feeling overwhelmed. And if 80% is the number of people who are in some form of debt, and it's difficult and challenging, and there's, you know, not enough paycheck to cover the debt at the end of the month, we know that God hears your prayers. We know that God is with you. We know that God sees. God also will help you work through your circumstances, but he also wants you to live life in his way. And so, you know, Dave Ramsey's program is a great way to start to think. I mean, that could certainly be a solution. We don't want to leave you not thinking that there isn't a solution to this. But, you know, changing of some habits, praying about your habits, thinking about some of the ways that you're shopping, spending, recording your expenses, writing down everything you spend in a month, and then reflecting back on that, having a budget, balancing that budget, living by that budget, utilizing self-discipline as well as delayed gratification for some of those purchases, saving up cash to buy things versus buying them on credit. These are some of the just basic skills that certainly people can look at and employ, but also study and do research on so that they can employ them in their lives so that that reduces that stress. But also leaning on the Lord, leaning on the Spirit of God to help guide when it comes to making purchases, because he will guide us through when we seek him diligently. He promises that.
Learning to be content and to be generous.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Sarah, why don't you lead us in prayer for those of our listeners who are struggling with debt, and let's ask God for wisdom and provision and peace for these folks, and for just the steadfastness to live in the truth of the gospel, and particularly when it comes to their finances.
Father, we come before you now, lifting up our listening audience, lifting up any of those who hear, who might be struggling right now and just who are overwhelmed by a tidal wave of choices that they have made, perhaps in the spur of the moment, or even with good intentions, Lord, that's led them on a path of difficulty when it comes to their finances. Father, we ask you to strengthen them. We ask you to be with them, to know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what those decisions are when we are your children. Father, we know that we are sometimes ensnared and entrapped by the messages of this world, and so we make decisions that we know are not your way. But Lord, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and so we ask you to help those who might be struggling, those who are crying out to you now, Lord, those who feel overwhelmed. Lord, just lift them up, bolster them, give them a hope in their heart to know that they can start to make steps to move on the right path, that you will see a way for those who might be just financially destitute by some of the decisions that they've made, that you will just Give them courage, Lord, to continue on, to endure, because you tell us that to endure to the end. But also, Lord, just perhaps put people in their lives or situations in their lives or circumstances or tools in their lives, Lord, to help them understand, to learn, to grow in personal strength, as well as understanding self-control through the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit, so that we can learn to say no to the things that we know are not good, and lay down even things that we think are great, so that we can pick up what's best, Lord, and do things your way, under your control, and under what you desire for us to do. Lord, you tell us in your word that when we are in debt, when it's negative debt, that we are in debt, we are a slave to that debt. We know that many people listening are most likely feeling the pain of that now, Lord. But we also know doing things, living life your way, doing things through biblical financial principles, Lord, will lead us slowly through that process and bring us to wholeness financially that we know is possible. Father, just strengthen our listening audience and give them the courage that they need to spend time in your word, to seek help should they need it, and to lean on you, Lord, because you will offer that guidance. And we ask all this in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.